The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the big Monday edition. This, the happier happy hour. This one we're saving for you, folks. 844-967-2789. U.S. Supreme Court. They still have not ruled on Trump's immunity request, right?
Right.
And by delaying, they're basically giving this guy cover. It pisses me off. Yep. To no end. But anyways, Tom. They might want to revisit same-sex marriage. Can you see with this new conservative dynamic on the court? It's been 10 years, but it's three new conservatives on the court. And I could see a change of the outcome should they revisit this. And they're going to give us a little tell, perhaps, according to Ruth Marcus over at the Washington Post. Are the justices re-examining same-sex marriage? Majority ruling in an immigration case could signal an appetite to revisit marriage equality. I read, not all, but some, a little. Is the Supreme Court's conservative majority plotting to chip away at the right to same-sex marriage or other constitutional protections? Question mark. Yes. The liberal justices seem to think so and issued an ominous warning to that effect in a dissent on Friday as part of an otherwise obscure immigration case. So they're giving you a little warning, folks. When the justices put it in the dissent, they're trying to tell you something.
Exactly.
The case, Department of State versus Munoz, involves Sandra Munoz, a California woman and U.S. citizen, whose husband, Luis Asiano Cordero, a citizen of El Salvador, wanted to enter the United States to live with his wife and child, also a U.S. citizen. An officer at the U.S. consulate in San Salvador refused him entry, finding that Asensio Cordero was a member of the MS-13 gang, partly on the basis of his religious tattoos. Asensio Cordero denied gang membership, and under U.S. immigration law, non-citizens don't have the right to challenge visa denials in court. But Munoz claimed that the refusal to give her husband a visa infringed on what she said was her fundamental right to live with her spouse in the United States, part of the protection of the right to marriage that the court has said is guaranteed under the Constitution. So this is where the plot thickens, Dom. The court rejected that argument. A citizen does not have a fundamental liberty interest in her non-citizen spouse being admitted to the country. Justice Amy Coney Barrett wrote for the majority. Such a right, she said, is not deeply rooted in the nation's history and traditions, citing a 1997 case that has become the touchstone for determining, or in the case of abortion, limiting the scope of constitutional rights not specifically outlined in the text. You can guess the reason for the liberal justices' worry here. The first sentence in the dissent, written by Justice Sonia Sotomayor, comes from Obergefell versus Hodges, the 2015 case establishing the right to same-sex couples to marry. That was a 5-4 decision by a far different court. Two members of the majority, Justice Anthony Kennedy and Ruth Bader Ginsburg now have been replaced by Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett. Oh, they're just alike ideologically, Dom.
Possibly go wrong.
And the majority could have disposed of this case, Sotomayor argued, simply by declaring that Muñoz had received all the process she was due, an explanation from authorities about why the visa was refused. Now, Justice Neil Gorsuch made the same point, concurring in the outcome, but not joining the majority opinion. That could and should have been the end of it, Sotomayor said. Instead, the majority swings for the fences. It approaches the constitutional right to marriage, she warned, is inconsistent with the understanding it outlined in Obergefell, and its assurances in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization in 2022 decision, eliminating constitutional protection for abortion rights, that other precedents were not at risk.
Oh, maybe those precedents are at risk, Rudy. I'll jump in. The majority in Dobbs disclaimed any interest in revisiting other decisions, including Obergefell, grounded in unenumerated rights. Justice Clarence Thomas would have gone all the way, undoing decisions establishing protection for married couples to obtain contraceptives, for gay couples to engage in sexual behavior, and for same-sex marriage. Despite the majority's assurance 2 terms ago that its eradication of the right to abortion does not undermine in any way other entrenched substantive due process rights, such as the right to marry, the right to reside with relatives, and the right to make decisions about the education of one's children, the court fails at the first pass, Sotomayor warned. Yeah, very telling indeed, Crudy. Most immediately, she said, the risk is to same-sex couples who often can't safely live together in other countries. Yet she intimated that there was more going on here. The majority, she said, makes the same fatal error it made in Dobbs, requiring, quote-unquote, too careful a description of the claimed fundamental liberty interest. This reads like the first salvo in the battle over the scope of unenumerated constitutional rights unleashed by Dobbs. The majority responded that the dissenters were leaping to unwarranted conclusions. Its basic message to the liberals was that they should chill out, quote, Barrett writing. To be clear, today's decision does not remotely call into question any precedent of this court, including those protecting marriage as a fundamental right. So how fearful should we be about the threat to same-sex marriage? If the question were to come up for the first time today, I doubt the court would reach the same result as in Obergefell and declare a sweeping constitutional new right. At the same time, and yes, I know how cavalierly they tossed aside the precedent Dobbs, I doubt that even this court is about to upend the national legal landscape again and eliminate the right to marriage equality. Still, Ruth Marcus writes at the Washington Post, Barrett and her fellow conservative justices are clearly not inclined to any broad reading of the Constitution and its unenumerated rights. As Gorsuch and the dissenters pointed out, they could have ducked the constitutional question and decided Muñoz on narrower grounds. Instead, they opted to reiterate the importance of restricting constitutional protections to only those, quote, deeply rooted in history and tradition, unquote. Was this a signal, question mark? An invitation, question mark? That the liberal justices are nervous should worry us all. Again, Ruth Marcus at the Washington Post. And given the makeup of this court and generally with the megas these days, abso-frickin-lutely, they're going to come after everything all the time. It's going to be like an Eagles song around here.
Man, I hate the Eagles.
I had a rough day, man. I like the Eagles.
I don't really hate the Eagles.
But. I know. I mean, who could possibly? But yes, of course they're going to. Yes, they're laying down the seed corn, man. This is how they roll. They're going to absolutely do that. So are 75% of those in the previous poll we talked about, voters are concerned, and the judgment, the person that their president would put on the Supreme Court will impact their vote. Certainly that's both conservative and liberal. But just consider it a shot across the bow, Crudy.
Dom, against better judgment and prudence, 844-967-27.
Wait, what?
89. CJ, can you stay on topic, man? Do you want to talk about the Dobbs or the Supreme Court perhaps overruling same-sex marriage?
Let's talk about those issues, CJ. Uh-oh. One. I mean, you know, after like 15 minutes.
Yeah, we're here, CJ, but you got to stay on topic, dude. What topic have we been talking about?
The myth, you misrepresent what most conservatives believe.
How so?
They believe in women's rights, but they believe in restrictions. And you softball this doctor, Kristen Riley, every time you have her on.
So? Should I challenge her right to abortion as Republicans would do, CJ? Should I tell her she doesn't have the right to make these decisions for herself or with her patients?
Does she believe in any restrictions? Trump, you always misrepresent what us, the conservatives, our candidates.
Back at you, man, because Republicans all the time tell me that post-birth abortions, man. So if we're misrepresenting, certainly conservatives do the same. But please continue your cogent thought.
Thanks, Crudy. I appreciate you guys taking my call. But, you know, if that's why I call in, because it frustrates me to hear your candidate misrepresent what we believe. And
what specifically do you believe, CJ? Hang on, CJ. I appreciate your point. Now, you're saying our guest was misrepresenting what you believe. I'd like you to specifically articulate what did she misrepresent about your belief?
Well, she claims that all megas believe in, you know, taking away a right for a woman to choose. We don't, but we believe in some restrictions. I personally believe that there should be exceptions for rape, incest, the health of the mother, the life of the child beyond 15 weeks. So, woman should be able to decide.
Or you could let her just decide in conjunction with her doctor. 15 weeks. Or, CJ, you could just let her decide with her body what she wants to do with it. See the contrast.
Is that what you're saying? You don't believe in any restrictions on weeks. Because that's what Chuck Schumer
and the Democrats... Not if medically necessary,
no. They voted for on the Senate floor.
You keep saying that, CJ, but no one's getting to that third trimester and murdering the baby. That doesn't happen. That's called murder. And if you do that, those folks want those babies, and they're heartbroken that they have to go through that process. The point being is that when you overturned Roe v. Wade, which had, you know, a point of viability, let's just go with a point of viability. That was the standard for 50 years. Let's keep those standards. If you would concur with that, CJ, but you don't. You want to continue to restrict it. At the end of the day, it's not your body. It's not your business. 844-967-2789.
Big and tall of political talk, the devil's advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the radio. Cell phone lines are open. Going back to your calls at 844-967-2789.
Dom Gale from Beaver Dam is next. Gale, we understand you got some thoughts on Trump. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Gale.
Yes. Hi, guys. Good show. Keep up the good work. Just a little bit of a part of my song here. Trumpty Dumpty ran on a wall. Trumpty Dumpty conned them all. Trumpty Dumpty filled their ear and never came to fruition year after year. And I can't go through the rest of the song. I got another song called Trump Circus, but we won't go into that.
Wow, man. I love the creativity. They give you so much to use, don't they?
Yeah. There's a part of that song. It starts off at Trump's. Come to Trump Circus. Meet all the crooked clowns. You'll need chest waiters. The swamp is all around. They've got the smoking mirrors and shell games abound. Come to Trump Circus. Meet all the crooked clowns. And then it goes on from there.
Yeah.
Gil, you could be a rapper.
That, man.
You're an OG, Gil.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for playing, Gil. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789. See, there's so much creativity, you know, in the midst of the chaos of the megas.
If only you had some. Dom, Jennifer Rubin at the Post. Want to turn our attention here. the Supreme Court the topic of the day, I think, because we still don't have a ruling on the Trump immunity, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the big issue. If we don't, if they're going to declare the man the king, I would like to have SEAL Team 6 standing back and standing by if I were Joe, getting ready for the debate, because you know where he's going to be on Thursday night, right?
Right, man.
As Ruben writes, the headline, MAGA justices already gave Trump de facto immunity and disgraced the court. Not much, but a little of this, Dom. Another day of Supreme Court decisions passed on Friday. Another day without an opinion on presidential immunity. No better evidence of bad faith and bias on the part of the right-wing Supreme Court majority exists than its foot-dragging on the decision concerning whether felon and former President Donald Trump can be prosecuted for an insurrection. In deciding to delay the case for more than 6 months, the court itself commits election interference. They're rigging it! They're rigging it! According to Jennifer Rubin. Now, Trump's strategy in his four criminal matters has always been to delay any reckoning beyond the election in hopes he would get elected, whereupon he could shut down the federal prosecutions and put state cases on hold. Now, thanks to U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon's near comedic stalling of Trump's Espionage Act case and the Supreme Court's equally blatant procrastination, Trump may get his way. Cannon, obvious favoritism towards Trump and entertaining specious arguments, holding nonsensical hearings, including a bizarre hours-long hearing featuring non-party lawyers debating a well-settled issue, and delays and delaying definitive decisions that could be appealed, has been widely panned. No wonder her fellow judges, including the chief judge in her Southern District of Florida, wanted her to recuse. But is the Supreme Court majority any better, Dom? Are they? Alito with the upside-down flags? Ginny and Clarence? And then you see Roberts. He's lost control of that court.
Any better? Hell, they're willing participants, and in, at least in the case of Ginny and her emails, an active participant in trying to overthrow the government. A quote from a longtime Democratic activist and consultant, Michael Podhorzer. By shielding Donald Trump from standing trial before a jury in two of his felony cases, Trump's three appointments to the Supreme Court, along with the even more mega justices Alito and Thomas and Judge Eileen Cannon, have already irreparably interfered in the 2024 election. Most importantly, when we finally do get the immunity ruling in the days or more likely weeks ahead, it will set the stage for a historic crisis. Ruben goes on, if Trump's January 6th trial speeds ahead, U.S. District Court Judge Tanya Chutkan will be seen as meddling in the election. If she holds off until after the election, it will be clear the Supreme Court already did Trump's bidding. Another quote, Podhorzer, it didn't have to be this way. We had the Republican majority on the court, had the Republican majority on the court not intervened at the last minute, we would already have a verdict in this case. Yeah, right? We would already know to the degree what happened. We would have this adjudicated. He continues, we would have had a verdict if they had not rejected Jack Smith when he asked them to decide the same issues last December. Dragging out this case since Smith first asked the court to rule in December stands in sharp contrast to the Supreme Court's swift decisions issued in other time-sensitive cases, such as the Pentagon Papers and Bush v. Gore.
The Pentagon Papers, Dom, 4 days between oral arguments and decision. 4 freaking days. We're working on months here.
Bush v. Gore decided less than a week after going to court. The Trump 14th Amendment disqualification case, that was decided 25 days after oral arguments and the Watergate tapes case. The court took that case on May 31st, heard oral arguments on July 8th, and handed down its decision on July 24th.
There's no reason to delay, Dom, unless they're in the bag. 844-967-2789. Jim has an opinion on the court and Clarence Thomas. Welcome, Jim. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
Hi there. Clarence Thomas and the conservatives are so into history and tradition now over even the Constitution. I am wondering when Clarence Thomas is going to demand that we have a long history with colored men and white women when they are going to annul his marriage and demand that we throw him up in a tree.
Yeah. I mean, and those are the obvious ones, Jim, you know, and it's so blatant, you know, it's the limited government, you know, for me, but not for thee. You know what I'm saying? It's the, you know, lack of enforcement. You know, we get to do what we want, but let us tell you how you got to be.
Appreciate your call, Jim. Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can be a part. 844-967-2789. And the text line's working. It's a happier, happy hour indeed. What did Jeff message us? Bear with me. I want to get Jeff's contribution in.
Yeah, very important, Jeff. Thank you.
Thanks
for playing.
Ah, sorry, Jeff. You don't merit consideration on the air at this moment.
789. Oh, you totally merit it. We just couldn't find it. Come back with us on the phones or the text and another topic. Talk about lynching Republicans in Arizona. We'll be right back.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the great Monday debate edition. The whole week chock full of great debates, perhaps the greatest debates of your lifetime.
Again.
Of course, the most important one this Thursday, the presidential debate at the Barrymore Theater. The price is free. The pregame show is Dom Crudy and Maggie Dawn and some others invited. And then the big CNN debate. We will watch it together, folks. Bring some beer money. Cash is preferred. And if you want to throw a couple bucks in a jar, we'll take it. But the Barrymore Theater this Thursday, doors going to open about 6:30. We'll stay through the debate and commiserate with all the fine folks. And you can also commiserate on the big show here, 844-967-2789. A happier, happy hour rolling through it. Dom, a few on the text line, and then we'll get to new topics. Dom, glad to hear you've calmed down. Earlier, you were getting pretty heated, and I was worried you're going to pop a blood vessel. And I was about ready to switch the dial to listen to Icky Vicky, which is something I don't normally do. You better not. Crudy, I don't know how you deal with Dom sometimes, says Nick from Marshall. Now, there was a lot of Crudy trash talking on the text line, but I preferred to read Nick from Marshall's text. It's a difficult task, but, you know, I suck it up for you and the audience each and every day.
Those who vote is those who count the votes, says Crudy, reading the
WMDX texter says, also, I have some family members from Stoughton, but thank God CJ is not one of them. Now, there are Trump supporters, but not as jerky as CJ. You know, but CJ is okay in real life. It's just he gets all wound up on the radio show, can't seem to play along with the topic of the day. Jeff from Shorewood, our trash text and attorney buddy, says, be afraid, be very afraid. All of the last four Republican appointees to the court, I assume he means, affirmed their adherence and appreciation for stare decisis. And they all lied. Yes, yes, they did. Here's one from Jake in Milwaukee. Jake, I don't know if I should be promoting this, but Jake texts in, I am so pro-life. When I had COVID-19, I coughed near every old person's face out in Trump country.
What?
Herd immunity? Trying to help them along, I guess, Jake?
Wow.
You know, doing it for their sake. 844-967-2789. We do it for your sake. Joe from Madison, welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Great show. I wanted to just chime in. Before, Don, you were talking about the upcoming debate, and I think it happens with a lot of folks is it's sort of putting together the idea of dementia or slowness, cognitive slowness with the stuttering that Biden has been suffering from since he was a very, very young kid. And it's a trait that over a trait disorder that over 3 million Americans share. And it usually happens when they're young. And then they get their therapy. They have ways to deal with it. And it affects them to varying degrees throughout their life. It is a genetic component. If you have it in your family, you're three times more likely to suffer from it. And there are all sorts of people who have had it, from Elvis Presley to Winston Churchill to our president, Joe Biden. And it's the area that controls speech. It's not cognition. And it's not language acquisition. It's speech. It's the actual saying of the words, not using the words and figuring out how to use words. And I would argue that our president, in fact, betrays, I think, an incredible nimbleness, because he chose to go into a profession in which he is going to have to speak extemporaneously often, and responding to people's questions, not always knowing what they're going to say. He has to say it on the spot, and it has to fit into what he wants to say, and also that he then doesn't stumble on stuttering. So that I would say that his agility at processing thought and his ability to replace words as he's going along, because he knows he might stumble on a particular word, is a fascinating sort of thing. And apparently he's been working through on this since he was a very young kid, bullied terribly in school. And I'm sure, Dom, you will appreciate this story from The Choice. It was a PBS documentary. They spoke of one of the nuns in the school he was attending was bullying him and calling him Biden before she called on him. And apparently Biden's mother heard about this and just hauled tail in and apparently said, if you ever do this again, quote, I'll knock your bonnet off. Oh, my.
Wow.
Dom used to bully the nuns as well back in grade school. He threatened them with the ruler.
Oh,
there you go.
Joe,
I would argue that his ability to work through this is an indication of strength and not weakness, because you have to work hard to overcome this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry, Kurdi, I interrupted.
Well, I was just going to say the low expectations cast upon Joe Biden. I mean, MAGA world thinks this guy can barely walk out on the stage, right? They want him to stand for 90 minutes because they don't think he's capable, Joe. It is not going to take much for Joe to exceed expectations. And you and I, anyone that's ever seen Joe Biden knows he's not going to be an award-winning orator. But Joe Biden can certainly exceed the expectations as they have been set by MAGA world and Trump and right-wing talk radio. Everybody else says this guy can't string two sentences together.
Exactly. Right. Uh-huh. And it's this realization of, okay, think how smart he has to be to constantly be working around a very severe stutter, one that really hobbled him when he was a kid. But he graduated as, you know, senior class president, and he has made his life living as somebody who is out in the public, having to think on his feet and talk on his feet. And that's that he has come through this and is respected as a world leader and has done such a great job for us. I don't know. I think it's kind of amazing myself, and really kind of something that people who stutter can look at and say, golly, look at that. That's pretty amazing. So there you go. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. It is a lot to overcome, certainly. And the guy is 81 years old, and he's out there doing this. And why did he decide to run, Kurdi? Right? It was after Charlottesville, right? That was his
That's
big
what
speech.
He told us. Yes,
that's what he told us. That was the for the morality, for morals of America, or something along those lines. And we're going to see the contrast with Trump, who, again, when you got to think on your feet, what does he go to? Well, it's the sharks and the batteries. That's his go-to.
It's always Shark Week in that guy's mind.
And it's the snake. It's the snake speech. He must have that thing in his pocket all the time. I am the snake. He is the snake. He's telling you. He's telling. Literally, you can't. He's telling you. He's been telling you the whole time. He's telling you again. Sooner or later, you got to believe him. And maybe, you know, the megas, they want the snake. They want to be bitten. They want the snake to bite and hurt. Well, why'd you do that? Because that's what a snake. That's what I do. That's what I am.
Well,
and they want that. They want that to what? The 2025, as Dr. Lyerly referenced, and this plan to, you know, purge all these federal workers and replace them with loyalists. I mean, what? You know, remember the song Civil War from Guns N' Roses back when we were in college, Crudy? And in the song, they talk about, well, we, you know, eliminate and replace them with the other, and the other, we get closer, and sooner or later, peace occurs. Remember?
You're skipping like every fourth word. I remember Axl Rose singing, yes.
Axl Rose, they talk about Civil War, and they quote, you talk about replacing these workers with loyalists. You know what I mean? That's not, you know, they're talking about replacing someone whose qualifications for the job would be their loyalty and adherence to the MAGA ideology. Not that they can do the job, not that they're a professional in their field, but who is the most MAGA-y? That's what they're talking about. That's a disaster. I mean, you talk about getting rid of and losing all sorts of institutional knowledge, because there is institutional knowledge. There's a reason you can't fire most of them, because we need to keep the professionals and those that are in those roles. You call it the deep state, you can call it all the things you want, but all of a sudden, when you don't have it, who's running the bureaucracy? Donald Trump and his minions, who decide one day or the other whether or not the weather forecast will include Florida and Texas with a Sharpie or not? You know, this is what we're talking about. And they're going after everything.
Dom, I think you're off base in this regard. If that were true, the most Trump-loyal congressman in the entire U.S. Congress was Glenn Grothman, right? Growthy Grothman, the most loyal, the most Trumpian, allegedly, analytically speaking. Well, if that were true, Grothman should be in line for a cabinet secretary. Right. You know, if loyalty is the only criterion that matter, if competence does not matter one iota, then why is Glenn Grothman not the vice president?
Because it's not 2025 yet. Trump's not in there yet. Here's the quote, Curdy. I pulled the Guns N' Roses quote from Civil War. And I think about the 2025 project when I heard this.
You're quoting Axl Rose? No, hang on.
Deal, work with me here, just for a minute.
I'll work with
you. We practice selective annihilation of mayors and government officials, for example, to create a vacuum. Then we fill that vacuum as popular war advances, peace is closer. I'm like, God, I know, what's that from? Well, that quote has been given to what? Abimael Guzman, G-U-Z-M-A-N, from Shining Path, which I believe was what? Peru's Communist Party. This was the plot from the Shining Path. These are the pure hardcore communist in Peru back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, the guy just died not so long ago. Died in 2021. So the Republicans are literally using the efforts and the path laid forward by the communists, Shining Path specifically, in their effort to replace federal workers with their loyal sycophants. They are engaging in communist activity to what? Get rid of the communists? Is there any through line? Is there any think here from the Republicans? Because you don't want, nobody wants, I don't want Joe Biden loyalists in these positions or Donald Trump loyalists. I want the people that are qualified to do the job, to engage in the governance and the activity of the bureaucracy to move this government. And it's not going to be, you know, Glenn Grothman. He may be elected, but I don't want that guy making decisions, you know, in some federal bureaucracy.
Well, nobody does, not even the Trumpsters. That was the point I was making.
Obviously, right?
You know, we can look forward, Dom, based on your criterion, to Secretary of State Kid Rock at some point.
You know what I'm saying?
Could be.
I mean, well, they're going to get rid of the Department of Education. Don't need that. Don't need the weather, whatever the weather one, NOAA. They're going to get rid of NOAA because there's so much talk about climate change. I mean, it's the
NOAA. Well, he built the ark, right?
If we test for COVID, we might find out people had COVID. So let's not test for COVID. And then we don't have to report that anybody has COVID. That's the logic continues with the MAGAs. And that's what they want to do. And they're going to go after it. And, you know, unfortunately, they could very well be successful, because if you don't stand up, you don't fight back, you don't run them out of town when they come up with these ideas, and you continue to elect hardcore MAGAs who are not beholden to the Constitution or to their constituency, but only to one person. That's a very, very dangerous road to go down. And I think most of these Republicans generally I mean, they would. I mean, would Ronald Reagan support Donald Trump right now? You know what I mean? I mean, as
Mr. Trump, tear down that wall.
Kristen Lyerly mentioned that she was watching this debate, the primary debate with Bush and Reagan, right?
Yeah.
Talking about, oh, let him come in, bring the immigrant. Of course, they're coming here anyway. We need the work. We need the labor. Oh, we got family. This is a big world, man. We can work on this. We can solve the problems if people are willing to do so. And of course, in this particular case, as it pertains to the border, it was the will of the 34 felony conviction Trump to kill a deal that Republicans in any other year would have normally embraced wholeheartedly.
I don't know how to respond to your Civil War story.
The Republicans, the MAGAs engage in communist activities.
And which country?
Peru.
Peru. They're following the example of Peruvian communist.
Shining path.
The 2025 project would be following that example.
Exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
And you learned that from an Axl Rose song in college.
That's what prompted the thought, yes.
It all makes...
It all comes down to Guns N' Roses, man. Flash, one of the greatest guitar players ever.
Axl Rose for VP? Trump's got to pick somebody. It's not going to be us. More Devil's Advocates. Join us, 844-96-PARTY.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
Segment of the day. If you got something, hit us up right now on the lines, 844-967-2789.
And that song was about Peruvian communists?
Well, the quote is attributed to the Shining Path leader, or at least one of the followers of the Shining Path, yes.
Excellent. Thank you. You've edified me. You've taught me something I never needed to know.
Yes, but... do you see it? I mean, this is what the Republicans are trying to do. They want to replace it with their sycophants. That's what they do. Now, they're not talking about at least practically dragging them out in the street and shooting them, but they want to repopulate these positions with loyalists to somehow what? Give Trump and the conservatives an easier way to control our lives? I mean, it seems if you think you're not being authoritarian, and following Trump and doing these actions, maybe you're being a little authoritarian.
Sorry, I was momentarily daydreaming about loyalists, surrounded by loyalists. It seems, it seems like it could be a good thing.
Yes. Do you want that? That's not healthy. That's not productive.
Be a nice change of pace for once in a while. Just want to be a dictator on day one. Dom, what I find interesting, and I would point out, my phone just let me know, time to get ready. Got Senator Elizabeth Warren around the corner at the Majestic Theater in Madison. I hope it's a very good show. The two-year anniversary of Dobbs finds President Joe Biden's Wisconsin campaign launching a ground effort this week, featuring high-profile surrogates, and this reporting at the Journal Sentinel-Dom, centered around the first debate of the 2024 presidential election cycle. Now, there might not be a second debate, but I'm feeling more and more confident all the time that you should join us at the Barrymore Theater on Thursday, about 7 o'clock for a roundtable, 8 o'clock for the debate. And Biden's team plans to deploy Massachusetts U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren and Maryland Governor Wes Moore. That's the guy that, pardoned 175,000 marijuana offenders last week.
Go Wes.
In a massive mobilization effort with four events across the state, nearly 300 canvassing launches during the weekend following the debate. And Biden's Wisconsin campaign says it will focus its message in the crucial swing state on issues polling shows voter preferred Democrats to handle: abortion, democracy. Abortion and democracy. Those are the issues, according to the Biden team. The presumptive Democratic and Republican nominees are starting the final stages of preparation for their first in-person showdown since 2020. Trump's been on the stage working on his insults, polishing up his turds, his lies, right?
Yes, he's practicing his pregnant pauses for effect.
And Joe Biden's holed up at Camp David, my understanding, doing the debate prep, Dom. Any understanding, sometimes it's just a moment, a takeaway, a zinger, Dom. What would you recommend to Joe Biden's team? What's your 1-2 punch?
Well, I saw something coming from the team saying, expect the unexpected. So I think Joe should come out with a toupee and a good tan. And I think that would really just shake it up right from the beginning. And then, you know, you got to let Trump hang himself is ultimately what you got to do. And speaking of hanging yourself, Aaron, we did a little work on this. I want to get this out there because the Republican Party is in disarray. There is a Republican from Arizona. Apparently, she's the second in command for the Maricopa County Republican Committee.
She should be first, though.
2023. She was the volunteer of the year. She's an advisor to Carrie Lake. And she has a problem with fellow Republican Stephen Ricker. But first, before she gets into what she would do, hang, lynch Stephen Ricker, she's telling about how important it is to hire and make sure we elect really good Christian conservatives. Let's play the full cut, if you would, please.
But Aaron, let's pretend that this gentleman over here was running for county recorder, and he's a good Christian man that believes what we believe. We can work with that, right? We can. That's unity. That's saying, hey, we're going to shake hands. And we're gonna agree that we're gonna run a good Christian foundation campaign, and we're gonna treat each other well, and we're gonna get through this together, right? That's unity.
Unity, what a warm message.
But if Stephen Richer walked in this room, I would lynch him. I don't unify with people who don't believe in the principles we believe in and the American cause that founded this country. And so, I want to make that clear when we talk about what it means to unify.
Join my team or I will hang your ass.
This is what, why you got to be, she's the second in command for Maricopa County Republican Committee. She's going to talk about lynching a fellow Republican because what? I'm not Christian-y enough? I mean, you just espoused your good Christian beliefs. Who would Jesus lynch? And can we just talk about this? I really want to know.
Mike Pence.
Apparently, come on! It's just and there's no pause. The crowd's clapping. Hey, yeah, lynch that mofo. Yeah, he's a Republican and didn't do what we wanted him to do. Apparently, according to the person threatened to be lynched, Stephen Ricker, he tweeted out on this. Apparently, Shelby Bush is her name. She also runs an election integrity group called We the People AZ that receives funding from Mike Lindell, Patrick Byrne, and Mike Flynn. Interesting choice of words, Stephen notes. Not I'd kick his butt or I'd kill him, but lynch. Why does that word roll off her tongue given its historical context? Of course, she says this after talking about good Christian values. And while some in the room laugh, nobody shouts out in protest. Nobody says, that's too far. That's too far. I'm saying it, Crudy.
Dom, you've already gone too far. Thank you to our fine guest, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Thank you, Aaron, for filling in admirably for Rich today. And thank you all for listening to the explanation of the fact that this song inspired by Peruvian communists.